Everybody step, but we let it go. Come on. You know what I'm reppin', sit down and learn your lesson. We the B-L-A-K, okay, E-J. Now keep it raining, you're paying attention. Listen, we the B-L-A-K, okay, E-J. Nobody's seeing me, they told me it's my pain. It's uh-huh. So some love will be living under the logo. Right. Stop the hate, I ain't playing, homie, it's time to grow. Fuckin' with my money, yo, you don't wanna hear it, bro. I understand that, work hard and it pays more. Cause I've been sitting and writing since 94. That's right, since 94, I wanted more, I need more. I need that. Fuckin' with my art, you be ducking, dodging my dog. Now clap with me, they hating, so clap with me. I'm boogie down to the heart, peace up to the city. Just up to the riders, cocaine suppliers. Rubber bands, duffel bag, black card grinders. No class flyers, catch me in the C-class, tags like flyers. Clean the way it came, same color as my sock. So grown up, keep the factory on tires, man. When I'm rapping, sit down and learn your lesson. We the B-L-A-K, okay, E-J. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention. We the B-L-A-K, okay, E-J. You smell that? Didn't want any wine. Something about the cream got me going out of my mind. How can I ever grow, yo, if I don't even try? I don't even lie, you can't read between the lines. I'm a beat, no slice, no craving the whole pie. Let them have it, the click clacking, how we be fine. I'm blowing up, someone stepped on a landmine. Getting better every time. I'm loving the rap, you hear it when I rhyme. No need to get bent out of shape, you'll be fine. Before you get bent out of shape, I mean literally. You remind me of cake, evidently you're sweet. That nigga's pushing up weight, but your jaw's still weak. See the heat is backed up, love to make it skate. You know what I'm rapping, sit down and learn your lesson. We the B-L-A-K, okay, you say. I told you we raining, homie, now pay attention. We the B-L-A-K, okay, you say. Back against the wall, now we won't fall. Yes, yes, y'all. Whoa. Money coming in, homie, watch that fall. Black goat, we ain't playing no more. Look, we want it all. Boom. We from the bottom to the top, here we go. Boom. And if you're riding and you're real, come roll. Boom. They in the park ballers, but we all grown. Everybody strapped, but we let it go.
Goody day, y'all. It's your grandma Snoopy Gibson to BOE. But if Hayes is to the airwaves, and we're going to get it on the popping as we always do. Appreciate you rocking with your girl tonight. Now let's get this show started. Yep. So. A lot of stuff going on in the news today we're going to talk about. Just give me a minute. So, there's a business I wanted to talk about. And normally, you know, I do this for the Promote Your Business show. I talk about it, you know, during them, but this is something that has to be shared. It's a diner called Joy Bus. And the lady started this company, nonprofit, in honor of her friend who was battling cancer. So, I'm going to share.
I have a huge passion for food. I love eating it. I love cooking it. I love just choking people out with a rad, beautiful plate of just gorgeous goodness. The Joy Bus is a nonprofit based in Phoenix, Arizona. We've been here since 2011 and continue to grow.
We make food and we deliver it to people battling cancer.
Hi, hi guys. Here's your food for today. You feeling good?
Good.
Okay, great.
When you're battling cancer, food's not a priority. It doesn't taste good. You don't feel well. It's not top of the mind, but it is very, very important. I started this because I lost my friend Joy to cancer, and I wanted to show her how much I cared, and the only way I knew how to do that was with food. When I was delivering the meals to Joy, I was trying to think if there was another organization that could bring her rad food, and I couldn't find any organization that would do that. And so I decided to create it. This is our diner. It's open to the public, and 100% of the profits support our mission. I started this for Joy, one meal. Now it's upwards of 200 every week.
The whole Joy Bus has become part of our family. And being able to connect with somebody like Mike is part of our treatment program.
The community involvement. Joy Bus gets a lot of different individuals to decorate their bags, which give us hope. And
save everyone we've been.
We've got a big
plan. We do.
It's more than the meal. We bring hope along with every bag. And the interaction that happens with these special people, it's just magical.
Without our volunteers, the wheels on this bus would fall right off. We would not be able to expand and deliver to so many people.
I did this for my friend Joy, and now I'm doing this for our community.
And I love that. Her friend was battling cancer. Because, to be honest, my mom's battling with multiple myeloma. As a form of cancer. And, you know, she would say that when she eats something, she would say, oh, it tastes nasty. Or she don't have no, there's no taste, like she has no taste buds. It's not that it's nasty, it's that because of the medicine stuff she takes for her cancer, it's taking away her taste buds. So where food doesn't taste the same anymore. It's funny tasting to you, so because it's funny tasting, you don't want to eat it. You know, you need to eat it to keep yourself healthy, but and only certain foods taste good. And this is why this lady, she said, you know what? I'm a cook for my friend so that she has a good meal, good nutritious meal. And then in honor of her, her friend passed away from cancer. And in honor of her, she created the Joy Bus. It was a bus that went around delivering food to cancer patients. And then it grew from a bus to an actual diner that people could go in and purchase food from. And the money goes into the nonprofit so they could keep feeding cancer patients. You know what I'm saying? And she was like, you know, let me see if there's another one just like what I'm doing, if there's a business out here just like I'm doing. And when she said she didn't find one, she created her own. And I didn't want to share this just because, you know, I wanted to share because of the kindness. You know, the kindness of people. You know, people would, because you can hear what they're talking about, but you can't see the actual video. And in the video, it was people delivering flowers. So I don't know if flowers were in the bag with the food, that you get some flowers. But just think, someone's knocking on your door with a bag full of food. good nutritional food for you because you're battling cancer. One, you don't have to cook it. Because people who deal with cancer, some days they feeling weak, like they don't want to get out of bed. And some days they alive and vibrant. But, you know, and some, depending on what type of cancer they have, some people, you know, when they eat food, they get nauseated. And this is why a lot of, you know, you see cancer patients smoking weed because it helps with the nausea. So they can eat food. And I thank her for doing that in honor of her friend. Had the money, I would do the same thing. I would But I would do it in honor of my mom. My mom's still with us. You know, the doctors told her, you know, you're in remission, but it looks like it's coming. She had the stem cell transplant that's supposed to put the cancer in remission, and it did. But, you know, slowly trying to creep back in. So she gets the chemo injections and is keeping it at bay, which is a good thing. But when you're a person who doesn't like to take medicine, because before she was taking the chemo in pill form, and it was messing with her body, and so they switched her to the injections, and it's working fine. Just keeping the cancer at bay. That I remember, you know, when she would go, I would go with her to her appointments, and the doctor would be like, oh, your numbers are good. We're gonna keep you off of the chemo for this week, and then when you come back, we'll put you. You know what I'm saying? The medicine is working, but when your person doesn't like to take medicine, you don't want to take medicine for the rest of your life. And to do that, you know, to create a nonprofit. And the business, not just a nonprofit, but also a business in honor of your friend, it is wonderful. It shows that you're selfless, meaning that you care about others. You know what I'm saying? You care about others. It ain't about it. You didn't make it about you. There are some people who will take people's pain and tragedy and make it about them, because they want to be in the spotlight. If you remember the story I shared with you months back, I think either in February or January, the 14-year-old boy who fell off the ride in Florida. And then I read to you the article, and it said that the girl came, stepped up, said she was his cousin, and said that he called her and told her they wouldn't let him on certain rides. And then when he finally was able to get on the ride, that he called and was like, I got on the ride. And then the girl wasn't even related to him, one. And she was using, this is what I mean about using people's tragedy and making it about yourself. that she's no relation to the family or to this young man, and she used his death as an opportunity for herself. And then they said she went and started a GoFundMe. Yeah, she went and started a GoFundMe. I mean, it didn't get any traction, but she went and was starting a GoFundMe to try to raise money. And there's some people out there who make GoFundMes for themselves. They're putting their hours for a cause, and people donate to their cause, and then the money's really for them. Not for no cause. They make up a fake cause because they know people are not going to go do research for facts about the cause. Like right now, I can set up a GoFundMe, right? And say, oh, it's to pay my mother's medical bills. And I can say, oh, I need $50,000 to pay her medical bills. I can use my mother. I want not pain, not trauma, but use my mom's sickness with cancer to get people to donate money. But really the money for myself. A woman did that. She lied and said she had cancer and that she needed the money for medical bills and all that stuff. Turns out she didn't even have cancer. But when it came out, I think she got the money before she was found out that she really didn't have cancer. But you people need to understand is that those that make fake GoFundMes, if you get the money before they find out that your GoFundMe was fake, once they find out, you can go to jail. Because you're trying to scam people out of money. So there was a post that I want to share with y'all, and it says, if a man is dating a woman with kids, is he wrong for going to house with dinner for two, or is he obligated to feed her kids as well? Now, a person I follow posted this question. And no, y'all could be mad on you. Some of y'all might be a split 50-50. But no, he's not obligated. If he brings dinner for two, he is not obligated to feed her children. That is her job as a parent. Or his job as a parent. If I'm telling you, I'm coming over with dinner. I'm coming over with dinner for me and you, not you, me, you, and your kids. But I know you come as a package deal. But still, it's not my obligation to your kids. Because some people do use that as an opportunity to feed their kids when they ain't really got money. Because, you know, most kids want McDonald's for dinner. And you figure, okay, if he's picking up dinner, right, I could tell him to get a bucket of chicken, with some sides and the biscuits, and that'll be our dinner for our date. He getting a bucket of chicken with the sides, I can feed the kids too. You see what I'm saying? So if I tell you to get, let's say if I got three kids, and I say, and the person that's coming over for a dinner date says, what do you have a taste for? I can say, I got three kids. I know each kid is going to eat two pieces of chicken plus the sides. So I would say, I would tell the person who's coming, bringing dinner, to get a 12-piece with sides from Popeyes. And this way, we get to eat, have our dinner date, and my kids get to eat too over what he brought. But no man, ladies, you dating, and fellas, no woman you dating, obligated to feed your kids. If she's coming over for a dinner date, says, if the person you're talking to comes over and says, I want to cook you dinner, then they're not obligated to feed your kid. But if they, I understand, they know you have kids, but they're not obligated to feed your kids. You can't get mad if the man comes in with dinner for two and no food for your kids. You can't be mad at that because that's not his job. He's trying to impress you, not your children. So he's going to cook for you to impress you. But there are some men who would include the children. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's not his job to feed your children when he's saying to you, he's coming over to have a dinner date with you. It's not his job. For one, your kids should already have eaten and be in the bed by the time he comes to have this dinner date. Now, if your children are, I won't say grown, but if your children are teenagers, they know how to cook and fend for themselves. There's burgers in there. I'm sure you have burgers and hot dogs in there that they could cook and eat for their dinner. Because there are people who get mad at that. There are people who actually get mad at that. I wouldn't be, I don't have kids, but if I had kids, I'm not going to be mad because he came over with dinner for two and not dinner for my child. I'm not going to be mad at that. That's not his responsibility for my, to make sure that my child eats. That's mine and the father of the child. The responsibility to make sure that the child eats. If I ain't got it, then I will call the father of my child and let him know his child is hungry. Could he order, do like a Uber Eats or whatever, have it sent to the house. That's all. That's all you got to do. Uber Eats, do some McDonald's through Uber Eats or whatever food delivery service app, and have food sent over to the house so his child can eat. And I would do the same thing that if my child is with him and he doesn't have the funds at the moment to get the child something to eat, I would eat over some food for my child, make sure my child eats. I'm not going to say, oh, you a bad father because you can't feed my child. No. Sometimes people don't have it because they don't pay their bills. They don't pay rent. They don't have no extra cash so they can buy their kids something to eat. And they probably get a chance to go food shopping. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't get a chance to go food shopping, so there probably was nothing there for them to eat. So as parents, you should always have some hamburgers and hot dogs always in your house. So that if something like this comes about, that they can eat that for dinner while you have your dinner date with the person you're talking to. Yep. Okay, let's see here. Yes, it was a shooting at a medical facility. This is a gunman carrying a rifle and a handgun killed four people Wednesday at the Tulsa Medical Building on a hospital campus, police said. The latest in a series of deadly mass shootings across the country in recent weeks. Tulsa Police Department Deputy Chief Eric Dalgelish confirmed the number of dead and said the shooter also was dead, apparently from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. The spat of recent gun violence across the country, including the killing of 19 children and 2 teachers at Texas Elementary School 8 days ago by an 18-year-old gunman carrying an AR-style semi-automatic rifle, has led to domestic leaders amplifying their calls for greater restrictions on guns, while Republicans are emphasizing more security at schools. The divide mirrors a partisan split that has stymied action in Congress and many state capitals over how best to respond to a record high number of gun-related deaths in the U.S. It was unclear what prompted the deadly assault in Tulsa, Dalgelish said. It appears both weapons are at one point or another were fired on a scene. Dalgelish said the officers who arrived were hearing shots in the building, and that's what led them to the second floor. Police responded to the call about 3 minutes after dispatchers received the report at 4:52 p.m. and made contact with the gunman roughly 5 minutes later at 5:01 p.m., Dalgelish said. I was very happy with what we know so far regarding the response of our officers, Dalgelish said. The length of time it took police officers in Uvalde, Texas, to engage the gunman during the last week's deadly shooting and rob elementary school has become a key focus of that investigation. Officers waited over an hour to reach the classroom where the gunman attacked. Police Captain Richard Mielenberg also said multiple people were wounded and that the medical complex was a catastrophic scene. The exact number of wounded was not immediately available. Police and hospital officials said they were not ready to identify the dead. St. Francis Health System locked down its campus Wednesday after because of the situation at the Nally Medical Building. The Nally Building houses an outpatient surgery center and a breast health center. Delegates said, and the orthopedic clinic also located on the second floor where officers discovered the shooter and several victims. This campus is sacred ground for our community, said Tulsa Mayor G.T. Bynum. For decades, this campus has been a place where heroes come to work every day to save the lives of people in our community. Bynum added, right now, my thoughts are with the victims. If we want to have a policy discussion, That is something to be had in the future, but not tonight. Philip Tankersley, 27, was leaving his father's room at nearby St. Francis Hospital around 5 p.m. when hospital staff said there was an active shooter in a building across the street, locked the doors, and warned them to stay away from the windows. Tankersley said he and his mother sheltered in his father's hospital room for more than an hour trying to learn scraps of information from the TV news and passing nurses. He said they heard cold silver and level one trauma announced on the hospital speakers and wondered if they were safe in the room. I wasn't particularly worried because the two people that I need to look out for were in that same room as me, he said. But it was definitely a this is happening here moment. Excuse me, y'all. Says agents from the Bureau of Alcohol and Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives were also at the scene. As far as was said, a reunification center for families to find their loved ones was set up at a nearby high school. The shooting Wednesday also comes just more than 2 weeks after shooting at a Buffalo supermarket by a white man who was accused of killing 10 black people in a racist attack. The recent Memorial Day weekend saw multiple mass shootings nationwide, including at an outdoor festival in Taft, Oklahoma, 45 miles from Tulsa, even as single death incidents account for most gun fatalities. Since January, there has been 12 shootings where four or more people have been killed. According to the Associated Press, the USA Today, Northeastern University mass killings database, those shootings have left 76 dead, including 31 adults and children in Buffalo and Texas. The database says the death toll does not include the suspects in the shooting. That is crazy. This story has been corrected to show that information about number of dead or weapons used in police response should be attributed to the Tulsa Police Department Deputy Chief Eric Dalgelish. Wow. We gotta have stricter gun laws. And the gunman is dead, so we would never know why he went to that medical facility to shoot those people. We would never know why. And y'all complaining about they trying to take our guns away. No one's trying to take your guns away. We want to strip the gun laws. Because what do you need as a gun owner? What do you need with an AR-15, an automatic rifle? Why do you need an automatic rifle? I need a good explanation for that. As a gun owner, why do you need an AR-15 as part of your gun arsenal? And your reasoning will never be a good one of why you need it. This doesn't make any sense. Here's something that's good. Here's a good story. Because I hate sharing the bad ones more than I share the good ones. Let me see here. I hate when this happens. Don't you hate that when you when you're online and you're trying to read an article or you're doing something on and these pop-ups happen? Here we go. So just off the heels of celebrating what would have been the 50th birthday of Christopher Wallace, as well as B.I.G., the rapper and hip-hop legend. And what happened to where I lost my story? I'm trying to read this story and this pop-up keep happening. Now here we go, I'm going to try this again. Hoping I don't get the pop-up. Says just off the 50th birthday of Christopher Wallace of the IGFI legend. The rapper and hip-hop legend's son, C.J. Wallace, is working hard to keep his father's legacy alive. C.J. joined Lil' Kim at her annual B.I.G. dinner gala on May 21st. To celebrate the late rapper's milestone birthday, CJ performed his father's verse on the song One More Chance. Alongside Lil' Kim, Lil' Steezy, and Fat Joe. Oh, this is getting on... This is getting on my nerves trying to read this article and this damn pop-up is happening. Okay, there's a quote from him that says, it's still something I still haven't really come to get through all the emotions and everything CJ tells back in the past, but it was who made this mistake and didn't correct it? Because this doesn't make sense. But it was a beautiful week. These past few weeks have been just overwhelming with support and love from everybody. Behind the scenes, a 25-year-old actor keeps Biggie's name and brand alive with new okay, y'all, just give me a minute here. I can't believe that this is happening. I can't even read the damn article. I'm going to try another way to get the article so I can read the dang on article and not get these damn pop-ups. Okay, let's see here. Well, I'm saying whoever wrote the article should have noticed that the grammatical error they made and fixed it before they published it. Here we go. Here we go. Now that's the article. Oh, shouldn't have any problems with the article, reading the article. Let's see here. It says, behind the scenes, 25-year-old actor keeps Biggie's name and burn alive with New York City's mayor, Eric as declaring May 21st as Christopher the Notorious B.I.G. Wallace Day. Last month, CJ... Okay, hold on one second here. Says, last month, CJ is ready to carry on his father's legacy in ways that amplify the culture. One way with his company, Think Big. Okay. He's got a company called Think Big. Okay, it says, here's another quote from him. It says, that one was created by, created really out of my, who's not fixing these errors? Because when you read it, it doesn't make sense. But then when you eliminate to make it make sense, it makes sense. Because it says that one was created really out of my passion and just curiosity for cannabis and wanting to see the stigma for cannabis taken away. He just says of his Think Big brand. So he has a cannabis strain called Think Big after his dad. Says the offspring of Biggie Smalls and singer Faith Evans notes how both of his parents turned to cannabis for their creative process. CJ also recalls his mom opting for CBD products over pharmaceutical drugs for his autistic brother. Cannabis, CBD, they've always been around in my family, CJ says. My dad used it for his creative process. My mom used it through her creative process, and my mom was always against pharmaceutical products like Ritalin to treat my brother, so there was always CBD first. Yeah, they always want to give their kids Ritalin. Ritalin ain't for everybody. CJ sees his Think Big brand as a form of social justice that will eventually transition into a nonprofit. His Frank White imprint serves as a lifestyle fashion brand. Frank White was one of Biggie's aliases. We did a collab with Mitchell Ines. We just released our collection with Lexus. So, yeah, it's just a bunch of different creative opportunities with Frank White. Like, we can really do whatever we want, he says. Let me get this. Okay, let me see. The Notorious B.I.G. had a love a luxury lifestyle and owned several Lexus vehicles that he mentioned in numerous hit songs, including Hypnotize, Warning, and One More Chance. As part of the collaboration, Frank White and Lexus are introducing a new era to his father's legacy.
The Final Jam by Nick Jonas from Spotify.
Alexa, stop.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm busy here reading, and Alexa's going off for no reason. So, says Frank White and Lexus are introducing a new era to his father's legacy while celebrating Black culture and creativity. My dad talked about Lexus so much. He loved Lexus. He drove a Lexus, so it only made sense for us to make that collaboration happen, CJ says. Now, with an official Notorious B.I.G. Day in NYC, CJ hopes to see an official block party in the coming years. Okay. So we got a B.I.G. Day. We did a collab with Lexus. We got a strand of weed named after Big. But yeah, when y'all put you your articles out, y'all need to triple check to make sure there's no grammatical errors in your articles, because that's two times in an article where I read a paragraph and it didn't make any sense. But because I can take out what doesn't belong and read it, I can make it make sense. But for those who, but if you got people reading articles, if there are people who have problems with reading, and if they're reading the article and you got errors like that, it messes them up when they're reading the article. There was another story I saw. Let me go back. It's about a football player. Let me see if I can pull that up. His name is Deshaun Watson. Yeah, here we go. Says, NFL player Deshaun Watson now facing 23 civil lawsuits as another message. Oh, I didn't mean to say message. As another massage therapist comes forward. Damn. Yeah, I just love fucking up your careers. I see that. It says, having escaped indictment from two grand juries, Cleveland Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson was facing 23 lawsuits from women accusing him of sexual misconduct. The number is at 23 after another woman filed their lawsuit Tuesday, according to NFL.com. It says, in this latest lawsuit, Nia Smith, who worked for a New You salon spa in Houston, met with the quarterback three times between June 2020 and September 2020. Once again, the 26-year-old NFL player denied the sexual assault and sexual harassment allegations made against him. Deshaun Watson vehemently denies the allegations, just as he has since the first discussed them. Since she first discussed them with members of our firm in March of last year, Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, said in a statement, she repeated the allegations on social media in August, and he denied them then. The only thing new about her contentions is the embellishment, making them more extreme than prior versions. Deshaun's denial remains the same. The lawsuit was filed after Smith watched a segment about Watson and the lawsuits filed against him on HBO's Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. In that piece, he was struck by the courage of the victims willing to step forward and speak, and was extremely displeased by Watson and his legal team's mistreatment and re-victimization of the plaintiffs. The new lawsuit states, but it was Watson himself claiming that even how he has no regrets and has done nothing wrong, that solidified her resolve. She brings this case seeking minimum compensation, but to obtain a court finding that Watson's conduct was wrong. See, she's seeking minimum compensation because she knew, and she put out there, she wanted a million and something dollars, for what he did to her, they would say she's just doing this to get money out of him. Let me continue on with this article. Earlier this year, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell said that Wazza could still be suspended by the league, and Marge Washington agreed to waive his no-trade clause with the Houston Texans in order to receive a five-year, fully guaranteed $230 million contract from the Cleveland Browns, a move that was widely criticized by fans and media. $230 million. Ooh, Lord have mercy. Shit, I'll go play for the NFL for $230 million. But they don't allow women in the NFL. But, shit, I paid the NFL for $230 million. Woo. Yes, I would. And I don't want to... I don't want to say she's lying. She's just out for the money. Because remember the article said she wanted minimum compensation, so... Not about nothing for her. She just wants the truth to be known. And it's 23 women saying there was sexual misconduct. He's saying it didn't happen. I don't know. I don't know. Like, for me, I would say this is kind of hard. Like, it's like, dang. It's another Bill Cosby situation where these women coming out with these allegations and all their allegations. And it happened 30 years ago. As you know, in certain states, the statute of limitations is 5 years. So, some states, the statute of limitations is 5 years. So, not within 5 years to prove your case. But, dang, Sean. But, you have to think about it. See, for me, I'm thinking like, do these women know who he is? That's how I'm thinking, like, do these women know who he is? Because if I'm working at a spa and you come in here for massage, I'm not going to know right off the bat who you are. Even if I read the paper, even if the paper says Deshaun Watson on it, I'm not going to know you, the NFL player Deshaun Watson. I'm not going to know that. Only way I'm gonna know that, the only way that I will really know that is you is because I watch football. You understand what I'm saying? That's the only reason why I would know it's you. Wow. So I'm gonna send out condolences to the Miller family, to Master P, and the rest of the Miller family on the passing of his daughter. But I'm again to this article. It says, police release new details about Master P's daughter's cause of death. Master P announced the devastating loss of his daughter, Tatiana Miller, over the weekend. While the family grieves, law enforcement officials are working to determine how Tatiana died. Sources with the Los Angeles Police Department told TMZ they found preliminary evidence to suggest Tatiana died from a drug overdose. Drug paraphernalia was found at the scene and where Tatiana passed away, leading towards Philly's drugs may have been involved. The sources told the outlet no substances were found and an autopsy has been completed, but the toxicology results could take a week to get back. Law enforcement officials told TMZ that while fentanyl has not officially been determined to have been involved with Tatiana's death, if it shows up in the toxicology report, LAPD investigators are ready to find out who supplied the drugs. He posted this, I think, to either Instagram or Twitter. Just too short, give your loved ones their flowers while they are alive. Hashtag TTY, love you, miss you, God got us. Family over everything. Master P told TMZ the only way that we're going to heal and grow from this is with the truth. It has been a long and painful journey for our family. My daughter has been battling with this since 2015. Mental health issues and substance abuse is a real issue, and we hope to turn this tragedy into a testimony. The rapper entrepreneur also told the outlet that he is committed to invest my time, resources, and passion to help other families affected by these same issues. Our healing process will not end in grief. We will celebrate my daughter's life. Tatiana was inspiring, uplifting, artistic, and a loving person who deeply cared for others. Tatiana was one of Master P's four daughters. She was 29. Wow. My prayers and condolences go out to them, like I said, go out to the Miller family. This is crazy, y'all. This is crazy. Like, people deal with a lot of stuff and they turn to drugs to cope. Some people turn to drugs and alcohol to cope. That's why, you know, people who, well, not all, but some people who are addicted to drugs, when they get sober from the drugs, some drink alcohol still. Some, they just get rid of, they don't do alcohol because they don't want to get addicted to that like they were addicted to drugs. And when you hear, you know, people share their testimony and, you know, you hear that they were on certain drugs, it's like, something must have really been going on in their life that they turn to drugs to try to cope with it. It's like, damn, turn to drugs to try to cope. But while he's talking to TMZ, of all outlets, why TMZ to talk to? So, so you know, Monique and D.L. Hughley is beefing. Says, dear Julio, Monique Situate says yes to her, and then saying yes to her is an occupational hazard, and asks how his dog and wife were related. So, this is the situation. Monique and Dion is beefing because they were on a comedy tour together. And they were doing a theater in Detroit. And the contract, they both of their contracts said they were the headliner and that they were closing. But, yeah, who believe, you know, posted his, not the actual contract, but a short form of the contract. And I saw it, I read it online, and it said that he was the headliner and he was closing. Monique posted the same thing, and it said that she was the headliner and she was closing. The headliner is the last one to close out the show. So how is both? So that was a mistake. That was the promoter's fault for that, making them both the headliner. And you know, the headliner is the one that gets top billing. I saw, if you go to YouTube and you type in Dear Hughley's name, his show should come up with his co-host Jasmine. And he said that Monique was saying stuff about his wife, his dog, because he has a dog that's an emotional support dog, and he named it after his father, who passed away. And she said something about that. She said something about his wife. And then she tried to insinuate, because his real name is Daryl, but I think his middle name is Lynn, so it's Daryl Lynn Hughley, but he goes by DL. So she's trying to insinuate that he was, you know, because of his initials, that he was gay, that he's on the down low. But I heard that it stems that their situation, because he said on his show that he wasn't going to do the comedy tour with Monique, the comedy tour or show with Monique. He didn't want to work with her. But people were telling him, nah, you shouldn't, you know, stop your money because of... And now look where they at. I'm going to get into this article. And he said it himself. He says, what does my wife, my dog, and all this other stuff got to do with what's going on between me and you? Why are you throwing, like, they have nothing to do with it? Says, dear Julian, on Monique's situation, saying yes to her is an occupation that has to ask how his dog and wife were related to her contract. Dear Julian has taken Monique to task even more for her accusation that Hughley didn't want her to be the headliner at a recent Detroit comedy lineup. On his radio show, Hughley lit into what Monique said, which included making homophobic statements about his relationship and his name, using his initials to refer to DL or down low men, during her as she asserted that Hughley threw a fit at her being the headliner for the show. He said that he realized he made the same mistake others who have faced Monique. Irie made that mistake being to give her a chance. I've been offered a couple of the gigs to work with Monique in L.A., in Houston, and in Brooklyn. and I turned them down because I didn't think it would work. So after talking to a lot of people about how things are different and things are coming around, I decided it would be wrong for me not to give somebody a chance based on things that they've never done to me. True. He said that what she said on stage was a different narrative. Her reference to him being at her table was by her invitation to a party she threw to celebrate a pay-per-view fight. In her own stage routine, she said, talked about having Hughley at her table as a way to suggest that he backstabbed her after pretending to be nice to her. Hughley said that he had a wonderful time at the party, which was figured partly into why he decided to work with her. Now I know what Tyler Perry knows. I know what Lee Daniels knows. I know what Oprah knows. I know what Steve Harvey knows. I know what Charlamagne Tha God knows. I know what Netflix knows. Saying yes to Monique is an occupational hazard, he said. Hughley alleged that Monique purposely came minutes before she was supposed to perform in an attempt to force the lineup to change. She was supposed to be there at 8:40. She had just got there at 8:38. He said what Monique was trying to do was slow up the show. She ended up not getting on for 30 minutes. The oldest trick in the world is if I want to change the order and I don't have merit, I'll try to make people wait so long that everybody gets so nervous and go. Please, will you just go on so we can avoid a conflict? What just happened? How the heck I just lost the article like that? Oh, I hate when that happens. Let me see. Okay. It's still loading. Okay, it says, if Monique actually felt like she had merit, she would have done one of three things, he said. She would have taken it up with the promoter. You would have not done it. But she knew she had to get on stage because she would be in breach of contract, or she would have come to talk to me. He continued, but she did not ever, and I emphatically emphasize this, she never once talked to me. I have not seen Monique in years. I didn't see her at the venue before, after, or during. Hughley also addressed the myriad of insults Monique sprung at him on stage, which included jokes about his emotional support dog, his wife, and, of course, racial insults regarding him and other people Monique has gripes with, including Steve Harvey, Lee Daniels, and Oprah. Excuse me, y'all. What did any of that have to do with an alleged contract dispute? What does Steve Harvey have to do with your contract? What did I have to do with your contract? What did my dog have to do with your contract? What did my wife have to do with your contract? You wrote your contract, you and your daddy, he said, referring to Monique's husband, Sidney Hicks, whom she often calls daddy in her YouTube videos. He revealed that his dog is actually a way he and his family have coped with his father's death. And as he said on his video show, he named the dog after his father and travels with him so he can feel like he's always has his father near him. When you burn things up and you sit back to watch the results of them, you sit back and you try to watch your damage. You know who does that? Arsonists do that, he said. When you burn and you destroy and wreck, you are not a queen of comedy. You are a queen of ashes. I'm going to go back to work, and you get back to your kingdom of smoke. Get it? Now, you knew who was on the, before you even signed the contract to get on the comedy lineup, you knew who was going to be on the lineup. You could have said to the promoter, I'm not doing it unless I'm the headliner and it comes to the show. Oh, sorry, y'all. But, yeah, he's right. What does his wife, his dog, who's trying to insinuate he's gay, what they got to do with your contract? You talking about Steve, what they got? I thought her and Steve was cool. She was on his show, and Steve tried to bury the hatchet between the two of them on his show. I seen that episode. I guess it's not buried because she's talking about him in her set. But I was watching Kev on stage, and because he's also a comedian, and he gave some insight. Him and his Angel, who's his co-host on his show, gave some insight. She said that DL, just before this comedy tour came up or whatever, she said that he invited Monique onto his show. And his co-host, Jasmine, asked a question. It was like a would you rather question, but it was about her husband. Because, you know, they're known for having an open relationship. So she said, so this is what Jasmine said to her was, would you rather your husband have sexual dealings with or without a condom? And then she said it again, would you... Would you rather your husband sleep with someone with or without a condom? And I guess she took that as disrespect, that they were trying to disrespect her husband. And I think that's where her gripe with DS. But if Jasmine's the one that asked you the question, it had nothing to do with DL. And if that was the reason, you could have talked to him and said, look, I didn't like what went down while I was at your radio show, what the question was about, would you rather question, whatever. I didn't like that. They could have hashed that out privately, and none of this would have went down. Yep, and none of this would have went down. And it's like, there are people who are taking sides. Some people are taking her side. Some people are taking DL's side. Yeah. So, yeah. Let's see, here's an article. How is the 8-year-old going to attack me like that? Tamar Braxton reveals that her son, Logan, is pressuring her to date again. I thought it was going to be like her son is putting his hands on her. I was going to say, we don't play that in black in a black household, you don't put your hands on your mother. Because even if there's no father in the household, or trust and believe, when the word gets out, you put your hands on your mother. Trust and believe, uncles and aunts is coming over to whoop your ass because you put your hands on your mother. Says weeks ago, Tamar Braxton denied she had reconciled with her ex, David Adefeso, after the businessman dedicated a special Mother's Day post to the singer and members of his family. Braxton and Adefeso began dating in 2018 and split 2 years later in 2020. On May 30th, Braxton's romantic life became an online topic again after the 45-year-old revealed on Twitter that her son Logan Herbert, 8, suggested she start dating again. In the tweet, Braxton explained that Logan even tried to get his mother to join a dating app called Tinder. She wrote, "My son woke me up, harassing me, asking me, don't you think it's time for a boyfriend? You know you can at least download Tinder. How is an 8-year going to attack me like that? I'm going back to bed," shaking my head. As fans viewed her post, many pointed out that Logan's advice seems to be coming from a place of love because he wants his mother to be happy. He's just the sweetest. He just wants to see his mom happy with someone. You deserve it, and he knows that, love. Your king is out there waiting on you, boo. He just wants you to be happy. Children can sense their parents' emotions better than you think. He's only looking out for your well-being. Take heed. It's beautiful that he wants to see you happy. Just let him know that you are doing what's best for you and him, and that his happiness is at the top of us right now, wishing you the best. That is true. But after what she went through with David, yeah, she don't need to. She got to get herself together first. When you've been in a messed up relationship, you got to get yourself together so you can be mentally sane for the next person you get into a relationship with, because you do not want to bring old baggage into a new relationship. Because, and the reason why I say this is because there are women and men as well that the person they was in a relationship did something to them that they hold on to, and then when they get into another relationship and the person they're dating does something that's similar to what that person they used to be in a relationship to them, they think and start that person is just like they are when they're not. You're thinking that way because you never let go of that old baggage. You brought it with you in the new relationship. You gotta let it go. You gotta let that old baggage go. Make sure you're sane and ready for a new relationship. Because if you're not ready, do not get into one, because it's not going to work out, and then you're going to say, you're going to blame it that it's his fault that it went sour, or her fault that it went sour when it was you all along. So, yep. So make sure you're mentally ready to to be in a new relationship. Because if you're not, it ain't going to be a good one. Let's see what else I want to share with y'all. Shaq said he hated his step pops when him and his mom first got together. It be that way because kids always say this, you're not my daddy, you're not my mommy, I got a mommy, I don't need no new mommy. But a lot of the time when kids act like that, it's because they want their parents to get back together. So they sabotage the parents' happiness to try to get them back together. So yeah, your parents had you, but that don't mean they need to be with each other. Because if you would know the truth, if their parents told you the truth of why they are no longer together, you will be mad at one of your parents. Because if it's your mom can say dad cheated, blah, 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 and tell you everything of why they're not together, and then you're gonna be mad at your dad, but you don't want that. Or your dad might tell you, and then you be mad at your mom, and you don't want that. So I'm going to call it a night. You've been tuned in to the Elite for the Pages of the Airwaves. I'm Old to Start on Radio. And I'll see you at the next show, which is the Indie Experience. Leading nothing but the best in indie music. So my indie artists out there that want the music play right here in the station, all you gotta do is some yep at 201-399-2014. That's 201-399-2014. Or hit me up at rosespider.net and I'll tell you how you get your music played. Peace, one love.